alerta confirmada recientemente en varios países del mundo, entre ellos Canadá, no circulaba durante el periodo del ensayo. Si se autoriza en este país, la inyección sería la primera vacuna contra el COVID-19 que utiliza la tecnología de partículas similares al virus y la primera vacuna de origen vegetal aprobada para uso humano, dijo Brian Ward, responsable médico, más bien dicho, de Medicare, durante una entrevista reciente con el canal CBC News. Además, hay otras firmas canadienses trabajando en la elaboración de vacunas contra el COVID-19. Providence Therapeutics, una empresa con sede en Toronto que trabaja en vacunas de ARNm contra COVID-19, otros equipos de investigación como el IMV, con sede en Halifax, y el ENTOS, con sede en Edmonton, también han anunciado que van a obtener financiación del gobierno federal para seguir adelante con los ensayos clínicos. Desde el comienzo de la pandemia se había mencionado la importancia de que Canadá retomara la capacidad de fabricar sus propias vacunas para no depender de firmas transnacionales extranjeras. De ahí la importancia de la posibilidad que en el futuro cercano se pueda contar con vacunas manufacturadas en el país, ya que según anticipan los especialistas, el virus actual continuará por mucho tiempo y seguramente será necesario renovar la vacuna todos los años, como ya se hace en los casos de otras enfermedades, como la influenza, por ejemplo. Entre tanto, en nuestra provincia, una profesora de primaria de Chelsea, en el este de Quebec, fue informada que no podía seguir dando clase por llevar hijab, algo que la ley 21, llamada de laicidad, prohíbe. Fatime Anvari había empezado a trabajar en ese puesto a principios de otoño, pero después de un mes, el director de la escuela le dijo que tenía que pasar a un puesto fuera del aula porque lleva un hijab. El director le dijo que la decisión se tomó tras una discusión con el Departamento de Recursos Humanos del Consejo Escolar. En virtud de la Ley 21, algunos funcionarios en puestos de autoridad, incluidos los profesores, no pueden portar símbolos religiosos mientras trabajan. Anvari afirmó que el hijab forma parte de su identidad. «Sí, soy musulmana, pero para mí el hijab tiene otros significados de mi identidad y como he elegido representarme como una persona fuerte en un mundo que puede no querer que sea yo misma», dijo la profesora, «pero al fin y al cabo sigue siendo un símbolo religioso, por eso tiene un conflicto con la ley». Un juez del Tribunal Superior de Quebec había dictaminado que los consejos escolares ingleses debían estar exentos de la ley, alegando que el deseo de los consejos de fomentar la diversidad, eligiendo a quienes contratan, está protegido por los derechos de educación en lenguas minoritarias de la Carta de Derechos y Libertades. Pero el gobierno de Quebec no tardó en apelar esa exención, lo que significa que no puede aplicarse hasta que el Tribunal de Apelación vea el caso. Mientras tanto, hay varios recursos judiciales contra la ley que podrían durar años y seguramente llegarán hasta la Corte Suprema. El caso de la profesora Anvari ha causado revuelo no solo en Quebec, sino también en el Parlamento Federal, en Ottawa. Jack Metzing, líder del izquierdista Nuevo Partido Democrático, ha hecho ver su disgusto con la situación que afecta a minorías religiosas en Quebec, y se espera que tanto el NPD como el gobierno liberal decidan finalmente que el gobierno federal se haga parte del recurso contra la Ley 21 cuando este recurso sea visto por parte de la Corte Suprema. El gobierno federal tiene atribuciones constitucionales para hacerse parte en juicios que involucran derechos fundamentales, aunque no siempre los usa para no aparecer interfiriendo en lo que puede ser jurisdicción provincial. Y también por motivos políticos, ya que Quebec cuenta mucho al momento de las elecciones y en este momento la mayoría en Quebec apoyaría la Ley 21 y los políticos federales tampoco quieren enemistarse con sus colegas provinciales. Pero en esta ocasión hay al parecer mayoría de liberales y NPD para hacerse parte del juicio cuando este llegue a la Corte Suprema. Ni conservadores ni el Bloc Québécois, sin embargo, apoyarían tal movida por parte del gobierno federal. Y vamos ahora a un nuevo tema musical.
capa se me nubla, no se acaba. Casi sin querer, no hay nada ya, no hay nada ya. Tocarte por dentro, besar.
Sin querer, y la duda en sentimiento transformada,
casi sin querer,
no hay nada ya, no hay nada ya.
Tan bello es caer a tus pies,
no voy a hablar, no hay nada aquí ya.
¿De quién este cielo es de quién? Aire soy al aire, el viento no, el viento no, que sin ti soy nadie, sin ti yo no, sin ti yo no.
La revista de la semana. ¿Qué hay detrás del conflicto entre Rusia y Ucrania? The Weekly Review. What's behind the Russian-Ukrainian conflict? La escena internacional se vio agitada esta semana luego que el encuentro virtual entre el presidente ruso Vladimir Putin y el estadounidense Joe Biden no resultara en bajar las tensiones en relación al diferendo entre Rusia y Ucrania. Más bien lo opuesto ha ocurrido. El presidente Biden advirtió a Putin de importantes consecuencias si es que los rusos invadían Ucrania, una eventualidad que los servicios de inteligencia estadounidenses han estado denunciando, aunque Moscú, por el contrario, ha indicado que no tiene tales intenciones, aunque sí tiene tropas desplegadas en la frontera con Ucrania. Como se debe recordar, Rusia y Ucrania eran dos repúblicas integrantes de la ahora desaparecida Unión Soviética. En los hechos, eran las dos repúblicas de mayor población y al mismo tiempo con importantes coincidencias de tipo étnico, lingüístico y cultural, pero al mismo tiempo con diferencias históricas y resentimientos mutuos que se remontaban a siglos. El nacionalismo ucraniano resentía la dominación rusa y eso se había hecho presente, por ejemplo, durante la ocupación nazi, durante la Segunda Guerra Mundial. En esa ocasión hubo reclutas ucranianos que se sumaron a las fuerzas nazis. Con la desintegración de la Unión Soviética en 1991, no fue pues sorprendente que Ucrania se convirtiera en un estado independiente y que en sucesivos momentos también mostrara, a veces de modo desafiante, el deseo de algunos sectores de tomarse revancha frente a un Moscú entonces debilitado. En todo este contexto, Estados Unidos y demás potencias occidentales verían una oportunidad dorada que ciertamente no desperdiciaron. A través de la OTAN, la alianza militar liderada por Washington, aprovecharon el proceso de independencia de los estados que habían formado la URSS para incorporarlos, algunos de ellos, ahora a su alianza militar. Eso fue el caso de los estados bálticos, Letonia, Lituania y Estonia, que habían sido parte de la Unión Soviética. Ya otros estados que habían sido aliados soviéticos, como Polonia, se habían integrado también a la OTAN, en una movida que evidentemente tenía por objeto cercar a Rusia. La situación empezó a escalar desde que en 2014, Rusia, de manera unilateral, anexara la península de Crimea, hasta ese entonces parte de Ucrania, pero con una población mayoritariamente de la etnia rusa. Por lo demás, hasta los años 50 del siglo pasado, Crimea en verdad había sido parte de Rusia hasta que el entonces primer ministro soviético, el mismo ucraniano, Nikita Khrushchev, la transfiriera a Ucrania, una transferencia que en ese momento no tuvo mayor significado, ya que tanto Rusia como Ucrania eran parte de un conglomerado mayor, que era la URSS. La anexión de Crimea por parte de Rusia ha adquirido relevancia ahora, cuando Rusia y Ucrania son dos estados separados y con sus propios intereses. Del mismo modo, la presencia étnica rusa, también presente en otros estados como los bálticos, entonces estimulada por las políticas demográficas soviéticas, ha presentado un problema que ha resultado en los intentos separatistas en la región oriental de Ucrania. A partir de 2014, en las regiones de Donetsk y Luhansk, se han erigido sendas repúblicas independientes lideradas por grupos armados de la etnia rusa y ciertamente con apoyo de sus vecinos. El Donbass, como se denomina el conjunto de la región, ha sido así ya por 7 años escenario de esporádicos enfrentamientos entre los separatistas y las fuerzas militares ucranianas. En el trasfondo de la situación, sin embargo, está también el expansionismo de la OTAN, que si llega a integrar a Ucrania, conseguirá una vez más cercar a Rusia como antes lo hizo con la ex Unión Soviética. En buenas cuentas, aquí no se trata de buenos contra malos, ni de que Estados Unidos y la OTAN sean benevolentes defensores de una Ucrania en aprietos, amenazada por el oso ruso, sino más bien que es una mera jugada de un peligroso ajedrez geopolítico en el cual los ucranianos no son más que los simples peones que pueden salir muy perjudicados. La única salida, pues, es una solución negociada que satisfaga a la mayoría rusa en Crimea que quiere que ese territorio vuelva a manos rusas y que confiera un estatus de repúblicas autónomas a los territorios actualmente bajo control de los rebeldes en Ucrania Oriental, pero con garantías para las minorías. Todo ello, eso sí, con garantías de parte de Rusia de no amenazar con invadir a su vecino. ¿Será esto posible? Por cierto, no es conveniente para Rusia lanzar una tal invasión, pero a su vez, y en esto Putin tiene razón, no es tampoco razonable que la OTAN siga expandiéndose, convirtiéndose en una potencial amenaza militar para Rusia también. The international scene was in turmoil this week after the virtual meeting between Russian President Vladimir Putin and US President Joe Biden did not result in lowering tensions regarding the Russia-Ukrainian dispute. Rather, the opposite has occurred. President Biden warned Putin of major consequences if the Russians invade Ukraine, an eventuality that U.S. intelligence services have been denouncing, although Moscow, on the contrary, has indicated that it has no such intentions, although it does have troops deployed on the Ukrainian border. As should be remembered, Russia and Ukraine were two republics of the now defunct Soviet Union. In fact, they were the two republics with the largest population and at the same time with important ethnic, linguistic and cultural overlaps, but at the same time with historical differences and mutual resentments going back centuries. Ukrainian nationalism resented Russian domination, and this has been present, for example, during the Nazi occupation at the time of the Second World War. On that occasion, Ukrainian nationalists joined the Nazi forces. With the disintegration of the Soviet Union in 1991, it was therefore not surprising that Ukraine became an independent state and that at successive moments it also showed, sometimes defiantly, the desire of some sectors to take revenge on a then weakened Moscow. In all this context, the United States and other Western powers saw a golden opportunity that they certainly did not waste. Through NATO, the military alliance led by Washington, they took advantage of the process of independence of the states that had been formed the USSR to incorporate them now into their own military alliance. This was the case of the Baltic states, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, which had been part of the Soviet Union. Other states that have been Soviet allies, such as Poland, had also joined NATO, and in a move evidently aimed at encircling Russia. The situation started to escalate since 2014, when Russia unilaterally annexed the Crimean Peninsula, until then part of Ukraine, but with a majority ethnic Russian population. Incidentally, until the 1950s, Crimea had indeed been part of Russia until the then Soviet premier, himself Ukrainian, Nikita Khrushchev, transferred to Ukraine. A transfer that at the time had little significance since both Russia and Ukraine were part of the larger conglomerate of the USSR. Russia's annexation of Crimea has become relevant now, when Russia and Ukraine are two separate states with their own interests. Similarly, the ethnic Russian presence, also present in other states such as the Baltics, then stimulated by Soviet demographic policies, has presented a problem resulting in separatist attempts in eastern Ukraine. Since 2014, in the Donetsk and Luhansk regions, independent republics have been erected, led by ethnic Russian armed groups and certainly with support from their neighbors. The Donbass, as the whole region is called, has been the scene of sporadic clashes between separatist and Ukrainian military forces for 7 years now. In the background of the situation, however, there is also the expansionism of NATO, which, if it managed to integrate Ukraine, will once again succeed in encircling Russia as it did or tried to do it with the former Soviet Union. All in all, it is not a question of good guys versus bad guys, or of the United States and NATO being benevolent defenders of a Ukraine in trouble, threatened by the Russian bear. Rather, it is a mere move in a dangerous geopolitical chess game in which the Ukrainians are nothing more than simple pawns that can be greatly harmed. The only way out, then, is a negotiated solution that satisfies the Russian majority in Crimea, who want that territory to return to Russian hands, and that confers the status of autonomous republics to the territories currently under rebel control in eastern Ukraine, but with guarantees for the minorities. All this, of course, with guarantees from Russia not to threaten to invade its neighbor. Will this be possible? Certainly, it is not in Russia's interest to launch such an invasion. But at the same time, and here Putin is right, it is also unreasonable for NATO to continue to expand and become a potential threat to Russia as well. Good day.
Echó rumbo a su casa en el sur, descargó su equipaje de más, el saber lo llevaba con él. El propósito de descubrir la enraizada injusticia sin fin lo llevó a la determinación de desgarrar de la tierra el dolor. Nuestra raza, la lengua ancestral, Camaruco, Purrungui, Yatún, el Kibún, la machi mineral, el entorno, la vida, la cosmovisión. Desde lo alto está bajando, baja el amor del abajo, el currún de sus hijos, los hijos del viento, la vida y el sol. Se enciende la vida en mi raza, se enciende la vida, el amor de la Mapu, que Mapu es la vida, que Mapu es la vida, nuestra tierra es la de.
Se enciende la vida en mi raza, se enciende. Siento que mi alma está en sombras. Entonces me inclino, te beso y hay luz. Y me salen lindas palabras muy tiernas. Sonrío y me digo: esto es el amor. Hoy corté una flor.
Y llovía, llovía.
Esperando a mi amor.
Y llovía, llovía.
Presurosa la gente pasaba, corría y desierta quedó la ciudad, pues llovía. Yo me puse a pensar tantas cosas bonitas, como el día en la playa cuando te conocía, como jugaba el viento con tu pelo de niña, y qué suerte tu miradela mía. Tiene cuando despierta ojitos de niño, carita traviesa. Ay, qué lindo es tenerla a mi lado y quererla como yo he. Sé querer. Ay, qué lindo es tenerla a mi lado y quererla como yo sé querer. Fuiste mía un verano, solamente un verano. Yo no olvido la playa y aquel viejo café, ni aquel pájaro herido que entibias en tus manos, ni tu voz ni tus pasos se alejarán de mí. La soledad es un amigo que no está, es su palabra que no ha de llegar igual. Ves que sus sueños son luces en torno a vos, te das cuenta que él ya nunca ha de morir, nunca ha de morir. Mientras unos sufren, otros son felices. La vida es así, hoy nos dice sí y mañana no. La vida es así. Quizá porque hay pobres, quizá porque hay ricos. La vida es así, no ven esa luz ni felicidad. La vida es así. El mundo sigue girando, girando. Nadie lo puede parar. Las cosas siguen cambiando, cambiando. Y al final no será igual. El mundo sigue girando, girando. Nadie lo puede parar. Las cosas siguen cambiando, cambiando, y al final no será igual. Yo le canté a la vida cotidiana y sencilla, a la simple manera de pensar y sentir.
Thank you. This is Margie Barrett of Lansdale, Pennsylvania, listening to the International Radio Report with Sheldon and David every Sunday morning at 10:30 on TKUT 90.3 FM Montreal.
Welcome, everyone, to the International Radio Report for Sunday, December the 12th, 2021. We thank you for joining us. My name's Sheldon. I am here with Jill, and it's our weekly visit with you for 30 minutes of news and information about the world of radio. We can be reached by email for any questions or comments, radioreport@yahoo.com. We are live streaming and archived at ckut.ca, the website for CKUT Radio in Montreal. Our Facebook group is International Radio Report. We have three new members to that group this week, Jose, Tamirat, and Remy joining us. You can join as well, be one of the 664 people who are currently members of that Facebook group. And if you want to listen to the show at your leisure, we have our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/International Radio Report with 521 subscribers. You can go there anytime you like and listen to the most current show, plus past archived shows as well. So lots of good material there for you. If you want to get caught up or you want to go back and check something from a previous show, you'll have them waiting for you there. So lots of ways to access us at International Radio Report. So we'll get going with today's news for you. And we start off with a personal note that in the studio with us here, we have a brand new ham radio operator. Gilles, you might want to introduce yourself in the official way now.
Yes. I am Victor Echo 2, Zulu, Zulu, India. And I'm calling all radio listeners out there.
It finally has happened. You've been, there's a parallel to what I went through way back in 1993, I think it was, where I was getting bugged endlessly about why I wasn't a ham radio operator and why haven't you written your license for your license yet, written the test and what have you. And so I finally did and got it way back then. And you've gone through that process now, too.
Yeah. And it was important for me to have the basic with honors because I wanted to have the HF capabilities. That will be probably my main focus. So I did have basic with honors, and it was fun. I think it's cool to have the possibility of virtual exam online. That is kind of fun without having to go somewhere. And overall, you know, I think everybody that is a radio enthusiast out there, something fun to add to your radio knowledge and to, open up new horizons of radio.
Yeah, we have listeners in different parts of the world, and what you need to do is check with your own country as to what the rules and regulations are and the licensing procedure and all of that, because it is different in different countries. There's even some countries where it's not permitted out there in the world, but for most countries there is a governing body that oversees amateur radio, and clubs that exist, and examiners who give you the exams, or different levels of licenses, lots of variation depending on what part of the world you live in. So us here in Canada, it's Radio Amateurs of Canada that is our governing body for amateur radio. The American Radio Relay League in the U.S., there are similarities between Canadian and American regulations, a few little differences. But anyway, so you have the, as you said, the basic with honors, which does give you access to all of the ham bands that exist out there. So we'll be looking for you in various places on the air.
And I got to say, their website, the ISED website, is amazingly fast. It's the examiner sent in all the information. 10 minutes later, I got an email from ISED saying, well, hello, you should log in and create an account. Choose your call sign. There was a lot of them, but no call sign had some kind of, connotations or some, meaning to me. In the phonetics, when I saw Zulu Zulu India, I thought, phonetics sounds nice. Mm-hmm. So maybe in a a pileup or a contest or anything. Maybe Zulu Zulu India has something that will stand out. So I thought, well, sounds good. I'll take that one. And you go on the site and log into your account and pay that bill. And of course, I'll be Victor Echo to Zulu Zulu India until the age of 125, when I probably will be in my grave for a while.
Yeah, we don't have a renewal a license fee either in Canada. You pay it once and you're done, I guess, and that's it. So, okay, well, congratulations
Thank
on that.
Thank you very much.
I know the course was long and took a while to get through it all, but you were successful with that, so that's great.
Yep, and by the way, if anybody, like especially here in Canada, if you have already a lot of knowledge, you can even try to pass an exam without even following a course. But I'll say follow it for the missing knowledge, because I did have some, you know, parts of my knowledge that were kind of sketchy, especially on the antennas and stuff like that, where it's not something I play a lot with. So, you know, I think it could be useful to follow the course, even if you think your knowledge is good enough.
All right. Well, very good. As I said, we'll be looking to hear you out there on the band somewhere. And if you are a ham and you happen to hear the VE2 Zulu Zulu India call sign, well, you can try and make contact with Jill.
Yep.
And he can start building up his QSL collection for ham radio operators.
And like I said, I'm a big mouth, so I'll probably be somewhere in single sideband.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's move on to our stories for this week. And we start here in Montreal, where the ratings have come out for stations across Canada, conducted by an organization called Numeris. Steve Faggy, who writes with the Fagstein blog here in Montreal, has put up an initial story focusing on Montreal to begin with. We know we have a lot of local Montreal listeners, so we'll give you that information today. And then we'll probably have a more detailed article and also links to the Numeris numbers that you can go and check other cities across Canada. But in the meantime, Numeris has released its quarterly radio ratings report for metered markets, including Montreal. And the new data shows a surprising change in the order for the city's English language radio stations. CBC Radio 1 climbing above two FM music stations, Shome FM and Virgin Radio, in average minute audience for the very first time. Rather than being a reflection of the Bell-owned music stations, though both of those were down from their summer numbers, this seems to be a rather stunning jump among CBC's audience, with its 14.8 market share, its highest by far in at least the past decade, and more than double what it was just 2 years ago. On the music side, once again, the Beat leads, growing its gap with its competitors, though still well below what it was before the pandemic. CJD AM remains the market leader overall in English, but had its lowest average minute audience since Numeris began releasing that statistic publicly in 2015. TSN Sports Radio 690 remains relatively stable. And he puts a little dig in here at the Montreal Canadiens, saying, unlike the Canadian season so far, which is far from stable. And CBC Music, once again, is the lowest rated of the English stations in Montreal. On the Francophone side, 98.5, the news talk station remains at the top, reaching an average minute audience about the same as it had at the start of the pandemic. Ici Radio-Canada Première also continues to trend upward. Among music stations, Rhythm FM remains in the lead, though its overall trend continues to be negative. C'est quoi, which challenged for first place this summer, falls into a more distant second place among Francophones, and Énergie and Rouge FM fight for third place. The new player in the Montreal market, which came up 2 years ago, WKND, which is not the call sign, that's just the tag name for the station. I can't even remember what their call letters actually are, but they just refer to themselves as Weekend 99.5. In only its second year, has also fallen a bit since its high last winter and spring. So on Thursday, Numeris also released its fall diary ratings using surveys rather than automated meters, which includes smaller markets like Ottawa, Gatineau, Halifax, Winnipeg, Quebec City, and Victoria. So we'll put up a link where you can go and take a look at all of those through the Numeris website.
That CBC Radio 1 has beat Virgin. That, not a surprise, but Shum?
Yeah.
That is weird.
I'm wondering, it is of all of those stations the only station that does, other than CJD, that does provide news and information.
Yeah.
Perhaps the pandemic had an impact on that. More people tuning to information radio than music radio.
There's a trend here. We see that a lot of the, on the French and English side, they seem to say that even though, you know, there are some popular music stations, most of them are actually not as good as they were. They were down. So that also shows that people are more interested maybe in getting some news rather than listening to music on the radio.
Yeah, seems like that. Anyways, there'll be much more in-depth analysis of all of this coming out. There's already, each station has sort of been putting out their own little pat on the back for themselves.
Yeah.
When we put the link to Steve's article, you can go and read all those different articles of how stations put their own spin on their numbers to try to make themselves look better than maybe they really are. So it's always kind of fun to see
sometimes
those things.
Sometimes it's hilariously. You know, sometimes you're almost going to hear something like, it's 9 and 10 p.m. and this is the most popular 5 minutes of the airwaves.
Exactly. They don't talk about where they are really bad, but they always try to highlight something that looks really good for them. So anyways.
Yep.
Other shocking news in the world of radio, though, more for our international shortwave listeners, is some news from the World Radio TV Handbook.
So we'll start with the good news. And the good news is that World Radio TV Handbook 2022 is now shipping. The new 2022 edition. By the way, the information we're giving here is via the Shortwave Listening Post. And so you can purchase your copy of World Radio TV Handbook 2022 directly from the WRTH publishers or from distributors like Universal Radio, Amazon.com, or Book Depository International. And if you are in Canada, by the way, don't buy it from Amazon Canada because you're going to get it somewhere in 7 months. The bad news coming out of this is that the World Radio TV Handbook 2022 is the final edition. WRTH publisher Nicholas Hardiman shared the following announcement today. Having produced this book for the past 24 years, we are very sorry to announce that the World Radio TV Handbook 2022 will be the final edition. And WRTH is produced and published by the WRTH Publications. This was a hard decision to make and one we only made after a lot of discussion. We know that many people rely on WRTH and greatly enjoy getting the new edition every year. We realize that this news will be disappointing for many people. We thank you all for your loyal support over the years. Thomas Witherspoon of the Shortwave Listening Post says, I know this must have been a very difficult decision for the World Radio TV Handbook team. While it is disappointing news, I wish everyone at WRTH the very best. I've gotten to know this team, especially Nicholas, over the years, and it has been an honor to work with them and even write a few of their reviews. What now? I believe WRTH will maintain an online presence for years to come. I would encourage you to keep their website bookmarked. Of course, we'll announce any changes or updates to the WRTH site. My advice, don't hesitate to buy the 2022 edition. Seriously, I can't tell you how many readers over the years have told me that they regretted not purchasing the final edition of Passport to World Band Radio when it was new. Many didn't realize that particular year would be the final edition and missed the opportunity. In this case, we now know the 2022 edition of WRTH will be the last. We have to assume the company printed roughly the same amount of books that they did last year, since the decision was made after the book had gone to print. In other words, the supply will be similar to last year, but I predict demand will be much higher, with readers knowing in advance that this is the final edition. So my advice would be that if you want the 2022 edition, I would bite the bullet now instead of waiting. Sad to here. That's such a amazing book, an amazing reference book, is finally going away. I am one that misses the good old passport to World Band Radio. And yes, I think indeed, if you want to have something that will keep, because the World Radio TV Handbook information, a lot of it is at least good for a few years, get it. Get the 2022 edition. You'll have some up-to-date information, at least for now, hopefully for a time to come. They're maintaining the website, so I would say that probably you will have some information there also. But sign of the times, it's sad to see that after the 76th edition of World Radio TV Handbook, it's now going away.
Yeah, you know, it's a bit misleading in their announcement. I mean, they say, you know, that they've produced the book for the past 24 years. Now, that's WRTH Publications.
Yeah.
The book was published well before that, as you just said, that this edition that will be coming out, you know, last year attracted quite a bit of attention because it was number 75, you know, which is a special number when it comes to anniversaries. But there's been some speculation already that maybe another publisher might want to step forward and make an offer to them to say, hey, you want to keep this going. You know, is this a decision of the publishing side of things, or are people, the people who gather the information, still willing to gather it, but they just didn't have a publisher?
Yeah.
You know, that's not really made totally clear here. So, I don't know. Maybe it's gone. Maybe it might resurface. I don't know.
And maybe keeping the website is an indication that even though for now it's over, it might not be totally over. So let's cross our fingers that something can happen with that. And who knows? Maybe surprise, surprise for 2023.
All right, time to update the solar conditions for you.
Yes, very quiet week this week. And one of the surprises that we've had today and yesterday particularly is the fact that the sun is totally blank, no sunspots. That has not happened in quite a while. And so it doesn't mean the solar activity is gone. It happens when we are climbing the solar activity scale, when we're still close to the minimum, that it could happen that the sun is blank from time to time, but it will happen less and less. Overall, this year up to now, 2021 total is only 18% of the time when there were no sunspots, which is a lot better than last year, which was 57%. Basically, the next couple of days, nothing much to see, no significant coronal hole. With no sunspots, of course, the solar flux has gone down. It's back in the 70s, and conditions are rather quiet, but things will surely pick up within the next days and weeks. And the best way to know what's out there, the best way to see the conditions, turn on your radio.
This is John Figliozzi of Clifton Park, New York. You're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
We move next to an article passed along again through the SW Welling Post. Thomas Witherspoon, who runs that site, is reporting that the Radio Preservation Task Force announces a partnership with the Shortwave Radio Audio Archive and Radio Spectrum Archive. So Thomas reports, to say that I'm enthused would be an understatement. The Radio Preservation Task Force has, as of today, officially partnered with the Shortwave Radio Audio Archive and the Radio Spectrum Archive. When I learned that the Library of Congress's National Recording Preservation Board had created the Radio Preservation Task Force in 2014, I became an enthusiastic contributor early on, having started a modest preservation project myself only a few years prior. Then a partnership like the one created today would have been one of dreams. As many of you know, I'm not only passionate about technological innovations in our radio space, but also preserving our past. It was in 2012, in response to a roundtable discussion at the Winter SWL Fest, that I created the Shortwave Radio Audio Archive. Many of us in the radio community were concerned about the number of original, made-from-home, off-air shortwave radio recordings, or air checks, that we knew were in existence, yet were simply disappearing with the passage of time. We were all aware of members of our community who had either passed away or downsized, and many of their recordings, some of them pivotal world events, were being tossed out by well-meaning loved ones or friends who simply didn't understand their relevance. In addition, many of these recordings were captured on magnetic tape, which becomes brittle with time. We knew these recordings were literally turning to dust. I felt I had to do something, and then the archive project was born. Fortunately for me, its mission has really resonated within our radio community. Today, we have thousands of off-air recordings, all freely available to everyone. The recordings can be downloaded directly from the archive, but many listeners simply subscribe to the podcast and receive each recording automatically as it's published. Turns out, the archives also attracted the interest of individuals outside our radio world, including historians, musicians, filmmakers, etc. Indeed, the archives have been reviewed in the Wire magazine by a music critic as an audio resource for electronic musicians. At the time of posting, the SRAA is the inspiration for artists in the latest Cities and Memories project, Shortwave Transmissions. The archive is not, nor has ever been, monetized. It has no commercial sponsorship and is completely funded by its contributors. It is free and open to everyone. I'm exceedingly grateful to our many contributors who continue to unearth absolutely amazing off-air recordings. Our contributors are true champions of preserving our radio heritage in a space that will long outlast us. We've taken measures to ensure that multiple archivists have full access to the site, so its existence isn't dependent on one individual. We also actively seek organizations and educational institutions who can house redundant copies of the archive, and still it grows. Compared to the SRAA, the Radio Spectrum Archive is still in its infancy, but it too is growing, and the reason for this steady growth is the existence of its contributors and other supporters. So they go on to talk about the merging together of these two organizations, and that should give even more expansion capabilities, more increase in these recordings. I'm sure there'll be a concerted effort to try and find more of these recordings within our community out there. So they are extremely grateful. He says, finally, I'm so grateful to the Radio Preservation Task Force, not just for this empowering partnership and what is meant to us today, but for the future potential it represents. It's clear that we've only just begun. Thank you, thank you, thank you all, Tom ends that with. So if you have them out there, I know I have them out there. Jill, you have a bunch of them. Yep. We have many friends that have lots of these recordings, either on reel-to-reel, on cassettes, on CDs, and what have you, that need to be digitized, need to be shared with these organizations so that they can be saved, preserved for others down the road.
Do take the time to go to the archives. It's really, really nice. I go there regularly. A lot of recordings and more all the time. So it's a lot of fun to listen to. Some audio archives of stuff that still exists and some from the past that are gone.
So to wrap things up today, as we usually do, we like to inform you of upcoming ham radio contests. And Jill, you should get all excited now. You
yes.
can go and participate.
Yes. Actually, I got some interesting comments from time to time saying, I hope you're not going to be a contest guy.
Yeah, you know, there's some people that like these things and some hams that don't, because they do tend to jam up the ham bands, especially some of the large worldwide ones. But they're kind of fun, and lots of groups put a lot of time into organizing these things, so we do like to let you know about them. And even if you're not a ham, as we always say, you can tune in and listen. So we have a number of them this week. We'll start off with the AGB Party Contest. It's a short one, 1 hour, 1600 to 1700 Zulu on December the 17th, sponsored by the Activity Group of Belarus. So I think this is a fairly new one. The bands are just 40 and 80 meters. It's a CW, SSB, or digital modes. So give that a shot. I've got to do a lot of in an hour, though, to do that one.
Yeah. The OKDX RTTY contest, OK is the prefix for the Czech Republic. And this is going on from 0 Zulu to 2359 Zulu on December 18th. Sponsored by the Czech Radio Club. The mode is RTTY. Bands are 10, 15, 20, 40, and 80 meters, according to the IARU band plan.
And a big one in Canada. This is always an extremely popular one. It's the RAC, or Radio Amateurs of Canada, Winter Contest, 0-100 Zulu to 2359 Zulu, December 18th, sponsored by Radio Amateurs of Canada. It runs 160 all the way through 2 meters. And it is all modes, CW, phone, SSB, FM, AM, just about anything you want to do, running for the full 24 hours. So lots of Canadian stations on the air. There are also the special REC stations that activate in each province and each territory. And if you manage to contact them or listen to them, you can add extra points to your contest total for those stations.
Definitely the best time if you're looking for that special territory or that province that you never contacted. There's the Croatian CW contest, 14 hours Zulu, December 18th to 14 Zulu, December 19th, sponsored by the Croatian Amateur Radio Association. The bands 1.8, 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz in Morse code CW.
The Stu Perry Top Band Challenge, if you like 160-meter band activity, 1500 Zulu December 18th to 1500 Zulu December 19th, sponsored by the Bering Amateur Radio Club, 160-meter band only, and it is a CW-only contest.
And finally, there's the ARRL Rookie Roundup CW. 18 Zulu to 2359 Zulu, December 19th, sponsored by the American Radio Relay League. The object, Rookie Roundup, is a contest aimed at amateurs licensed for 3 years or less. This six-hour event is held three times per year, April, August, and December. Rookies can contact anybody, while old-timers make contact only with rookies. Mentoring is a big part of this event. The bands 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters in the HF bands, and the mode is CW.
Gee, I think I know a rookie ham operator.
I would need to know my CW first, though.
Oh, that's true. Yes, I forgot that, of course. This is a CW-only one, so yeah. You're an even less of a rookie now without CW. But hey, give it a shot out there, and you can listen to it if you're not a ham, and
yes,
or if you're a ham and you're looking to maybe get CW proficiency, you might want to use this contest to listen and practice trying to decode some of the signals.
Absolutely. So we are already out of time.
We thank you for tuning in. We have a really dedicated, loyal audience out there, which we really appreciate. We've been at this for so many years, and we know a lot of people have been with us for a good number of those years. So we thank you for your continued listening and support. We will be back again next Sunday. We do want to let you know that we will have a special Christmas program that we're putting together. It will be on our YouTube channel only, though. So we'll announce that coming up shortly, as we don't have long to go before Christmas time. But I think you'll enjoy it. We'll give you all the information on when it will be available very shortly. Thanks for tuning in. Tune us in again next week for the next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Bye-bye for now.
Victor Echo 2 Zulu Zulu India saying 73.
If you have flu-like or COVID-19-like symptoms, such as fever, cough, loss of taste or smell, or if you have been in contact...
She musters up.